Good morning. We'll call the House Judiciary Committee to order and ask our secretary to please take the roll.
Gillespie.
Here.
Daley.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Marshall.
Here.
O'Brien.
Here.
Here.
Here. We do have a quorum present. Ask for approval of the minutes. Representative Marshall. Moved by Marshall.
Second.
Second by Hunt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are now approved. Well, welcome back again to House Judiciary in our second meeting for this 81st legislative session. This morning we'll begin with House Bill 1063. As you recall, this bill was taken up by the committee last week at the request of the Chief Justice. House Bill 1063 is an act to clarify certain provisions concerning the authority of certain courts to issue warrants or summonses on indictment. And at this point, we'll take proponent testimony for House Bill 1063. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to pass out. Not an amendment. I won't pass out.
And a reminder to witnesses to please sign the registry by the door. And good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lynn Sudbeck. I'm the Deputy State Court Administrator for the Unified Judicial System. And I'm here on House Bill 1063. What I distributed to the committee first is a section of the Criminal Code of Procedure 23A6-26. And the highlighted sections, you'll see that issuance of a warrant or a summons on indictment is limited to a circuit court judge or a magistrate judge. When we looked at the section of the Clerk Magistrate Code 16-12C-7 that instructs our clerk magistrates on jurisdiction, it wasn't limited to that language. So this is really just a bill to clarify, to add the language from 23A6-26, the limiting language, onto the clerk magistrate statute.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. And as is our procedure, we will hold questions until later and take further proponent testimony on House Bill 1063. Other proponent testimony. If there is none, opponent testimony to 1063. And seeing none, we'll close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to questions of the committee. Any questions of the committee? Okay, well, then we will close to questions and open to action or committee discussion of House Bill 1063.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Move to pass on 1063.
Moved by Hunt. Is there a second? Second by Representative Hennies. Remarks, Representative Hunt.
No.
Okay. Anything else of the committee? Okay, then we'll vote on the do pass motion on House Bill 1063. The secretary will please call the roll. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, no.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Haley?
Aye.
Hennies?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Michael? Marshall?
Aye.
O'Brien? Roberts?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
Tourneau?
Aye.
Van Norman? Hunt?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye. And that bill goes to the floor with the unanimous approval of the committee. Representative Marshall.
Then move consent calendar.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Roberts. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That bill will go to the consent calendar. Thank you, committee. And we've gone into our calendar. We're in the middle of our calendar already, and I don't know. I asked the pages to see if they could find Representative Turbeville.
No one's seen him yet. He's not here yet.
Okay.
Somebody
okay, thank you. Then would you please go get Representative Van Etten? We'll take his bill. We'll be at ease for just a moment. Well, we are at ease, so no apologies necessary. Okay, we will call the committee back to order and thank Representative Van Etten for coming to help us with House Bill 1065. We'll now take proponent testimony on House Bill 1065. And good morning, Representative Van Etten.
Good morning. Thank you. I have been the chairman of the board of directors of a nonprofit organization, and during that tenure, I was asked if there was protection or immunity for the board of directors, and I actually reviewed 4723 2.1 at that point in time, and reading through it without reading the underlined section, it says no director, trustee, or officer serving without compensation other than reimbursement for actual expenses of any corporation organized under this chapter and which is exempt from taxation, and is listed as an exempt organization in Section 501C of the Internal Revenue Code, or any hospital is liable and no cause of action may be brought for damages resulting from the exercise of judgment or discretion in connection with the duties or responsibilities of such director while acting in an official capacity, such as director, trustee, or officer, unless the act or omission involved willful or wanton misconduct. However, the thing that I did not recognize at the time that I reviewed this and reassured everybody else on the board of directors that yes, they had immunity is the fact that it's talking about corporations that are organized in the state of South Dakota. It so happened that the nonprofit organization that I was chairman of the board of directors was a branch of another nonprofit corporation that was organized in a different state, and therefore the immunity was not there, and it was not officially a board of directors but an advisory board which reported to the board of directors that was present in one of the neighboring states. And I am painfully aware of the fact that there is a loophole there because I have been sued for defamation of character because of the fact that I was asked by the other board to come to the neighboring state and testify as to the competence of the executive director who was subsequently fired and named me in a suit for defamation of character, although I never told anybody else other than that board what her performance was. So and I assume that that this is probably true for other nonprofit organizations that are present in South Dakota. So I would like to see added to the law in line 6 and 7 or under similar laws of another state, and then to make it perfectly clear to add a sentence at the end, the immunity provided by this section applies to any member of an advisory board of any corporation described by this section. I think that that will do the protection which was intended by this portion of the law, which has been present since 1965. Other than that, I have nothing to add.
Thank you, Representative Van Etten. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1065. Is there opponent testimony to House Bill 1065? Okay, we will close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to questions of the committee. Speaker Michaels.
Representative Van Etten. One of the issues relative to nonprofit law, of course, is just nomenclature. And there really isn't any statutory approval or disapproval for an advisory board. And sometimes they're called advisory committees. I think in the scenarios that we talked about, you bring up a very fascinating area because we have so many people that actually meet. If the corporation was actually created, say, in the state of Minnesota, for example, and you have somebody in Mitchell who happens to take it telephonically, or everyone's on a phone and you're meeting as a committee member or a board member, that you're really not sure where that action is taking place. And without getting the legalities of it, you may or may not have an advisory board per se. It could be a committee as well. With that preface, I'd like to take the opportunity in line five to offer an amendment, at least for you to consider. May I, Madam Chair? Thanks. A lot of nonprofits have committee members that aren't board members. And in some of the scenarios that we talked about, just as training grounds. And I've always been concerned that I want a community member to come in, and they're not a member of the board, but they are part of a committee, say a planning committee or a fundraising committee, and they're serving with no compensation. Given that advisory board may be advisory committee, too, sometimes I prepared it that way. Would you have any objection if I added after trustee put in committee member?
On line five?
Yes, sir. So it'd be no director, trustee, committee member, or officer?
That's fine.
Okay. I know it took me a while to get to that, but that's the analysis, and I commend you for bringing this legislation.
Other questions of the committee? If there are no further questions of the committee, we will close to committee questions and open to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1065.
Madam Chair.
Speaker Michaels.
I think I caught a couple of other places, too. I have an amendment, ma'am.
Go ahead.
On line five, after the word trustee, insert the words committee member.
Okay.
On line 12, after the word trustee, insert the words committee member. And in line 13, after the word trustee, insert committee member.
Okay.
I think I got them all.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Siebert. Remarks, Representative Speaker Michaels.
I think I did it.
I think we did get some remarks on that.
Thank you.
All right. The motion is to amend House Bill 1065. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That amendment carries, and we will proceed to further action on House Bill 1065 as amended.
Madam Chair.
Speaker Michaels.
I move do pass as amended.
And seconded by Representative Gillespie. Further remarks? Speaker Michaels.
Oh, ma'am.
Anything else of the committee? Okay. The secretary will call the roll. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay on the do pass motion of House Bill 1065 as amended.
Gillespie.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Kenny.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
Marshall.
Aye.
O'Brien. Robert.
Aye.
Siebert.
Aye.
Torno.
Aye.
Van Norman. Hunt.
Aye.
Kettler.
Aye.
And that bill will go to the House as approved by the committee. Okay. Thank you, Representative Van Etten. Is there any further citing of Representative Turbeville or any word on him?
Working on a building in downtown.
We'll be at ease for just a moment to see if we can find Representative Turbeville. And I know some committee members were wondering, Representative Gillespie, if you have baby pictures with you today. Okay. Bring the baby. We are at ease for just a moment. Is he on his way? Thank you. I think we have a Representative Turbeville. Speaker Michaels.
Before we take that up, Ruben pointed out the title amendment's necessary. After trustees put member,
okay.
Committee member.
We'll go back then to...
On 1065.
1065, and if you'd like to move that amendment.
Move title amendment on line one after the word trustees insert committee member.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Hunt. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That title is amended. Thank you. And we'll let Representative Turbeville just catch his breath for a minute while we transition back to order on House Bill 1064. House Bill 1064 is an act to increase the penalty for subsequent convictions of the crime of stalking. And welcome to the committee this morning, Representative Turbeville.
Thank you. And I apologize for being late. I was really anyway. I come here as a member of District 31 from Deadwood, and let me give you a little bit of background on this bill and why I'm bringing it. And this has to do with a situation that happened within my district within the last year and a half. A young lady of 12 started receiving harassing phone calls. She started receiving reports that an individual was coming to her school, to her sporting events, and this went on for 18 months. Finally, the individual was caught. He was convicted, and come to find out that this was his third stalking conviction. Now, what I'm bringing to you today is an opportunity to change a small loophole, you might call it, in the law. When this individual was convicted of his third stalking conviction, it was his third victim. And according to the law, unless you stalk the same individual more than once, you can have multiple stalkings. Had this individual not also been convicted of child pornography, he would have received his third consecutive misdemeanor. What I want to do, and you'll see in the bill, in the last line, the first part of the first part of the bill is all cleanup that we've been asked to do by LRC. But I want to ensure that we make it so that you cannot have multiple stalkings. This guy could have stalked forever, 7, 10 times. And he knew as long as he did not stalk the same person twice, he could only receive a misdemeanor. I am asking that we change it so that multiple stalkings within a 10-year period, and you'll see in there that it was within a 7-year period, I've changed that to 10 years. Multiple stalkings, multiple victims within 10 years, then brings that to a Class 6 felony. Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I think it's we're seeing more and more of this type of thing. I think that the stalking criminal today is becoming more aware of the existing law. I'm sure that this individual knew that if he got caught, would only receive a misdemeanor. I ask that you work with me to help protect the lives and welfare of our children. Thank you for your time, and if there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to ask them.
Thank you, Representative Turbeville. We'll ask for other proponent testimony on House Bill 1064. Is there any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1064? If not, is there opponent testimony to House Bill 1064? Seeing none, we will close to proponent and opponent testimony and open to questions of the committee. Any questions of the committee? And then we will close to questions of the committee and open to action on House Bill 1064.
Chair.
Speaker Michaels.
Move to pass.
Moved by Speaker Michaels, second by Representative Henney's remarks. Speaker Michaels?
I think it's important because we're going to be dealing with this again, and commend you, Representative Turbeville, that this isn't an individual who probably went out just to stalk, as you had indicated. I think in other circumstances there's multiple offenses, other things occurring, but this is just heinous that we didn't have this taken care of in the past. So I commend you. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else of the committee? Representative Gillespie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for information of the committee, in 22-19A3, that section applies to the situation where an individual is charged and has a prior conviction against the same victim. And that offense, a second or subsequent conviction within 7 years, is a Class 5 felony.
Correct. Anything else of the committee? Okay, then we will vote on the do pass motion on House Bill 1064. The Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Haley?
Aye.
Haley?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
O'Brien? Robert?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
Torno?
Aye.
Van Norman? Hunt?
Aye.
And Cutler?
Aye. And that bill will go to the floor with the approval of the committee. At this point, we have concluded our calendar. And thank you, committee members, for your efficiency. And thank you, pages and interns, for your assistance this morning. We'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Hunt, seconded by Turno. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you.